With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone. I am Ben Johnson, and this is the Perpetual Chess Podcast. Perpetual Chess is a weekly chess interview show where we talk with accomplished chess players, authors, and personalities about their lives, their careers, and how to improve at chess. Perpetual Chess is brought to you through the generosity of its Patreon and PayPal supporters and by Chessable.com. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Perpetual Chess. We are joined this week by another super strong player. He is the number six player in India. He was board two in the 2014 India Olympiad team, which won a bronze medal. 2016 Asian champion, 2019 bronze medal in the Asian Championships, 2014 national champion. He's also a highly respected opening theoretician, and as luck would have it, wrote and is out with a brand new opening book through our friends at Thinkers Publishing. It is called Beat the Nydorf and Taimanov Sicilians, Fun Fighting Lines, Revealing His Secrets in the Book. So we'll get into all that, but with all of that out of the way, let's bring our guest in, Grandmaster Sethuraman. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Ben, for the fascinating introduction you have given to me. It's really nice to be on your show. I've watched some of your shows and been quite impressed with the interviews. So, yeah, it's my pleasure to be on your show.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. And it's always fun to catch up with you super strong Indian players. There's so many strong Indian players. I could just have an Indian Grandmaster podcast. And now we were talking moments ago about how strong Chennai is. And you were saying that's where you are. So how's life in Chennai? Are you quarantining?
Right now we are in lockdown because it's all of India is kind of heavily affected. So probably, I guess, by August end, we'll be able to move around. But for the past 3 months, it's still in lockdown. Yeah, so it's not so convenient. But okay, but for chess players, I think they anyway stay at home, yeah, most of the time. So I'm kind of used to it.
Yeah, it's true. It is. I always say chess is kind of the perfect quarantine activity because you can spend your whole life doing it. Although the lack of competition is, of course, there's the online stuff, and I'd like to ask you about that in due time. But since you mentioned Chennai, of course, we have to ask about the most famous resident, Grandmaster Viswanathan Anand. So I understand that he did make it back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good news. And of course, you've got so many other strong players there. Grandmaster Ramesh, who we've had on the show a couple times, and I believe was your trainer at one point, right?
Yeah, sure. He has trained many young kids, and almost if you just take the top 10 list of the Indian chess, I think more or less everyone has trained with him. Yeah, he's like a really world-class trainer, yeah.
Yeah, just and a great guy on top of that. So these are just teasers of the many topics we want to get into. But Grandmaster Sethuraman, one thing I would like to talk about just from the beginning is I'm curious what it's like for a grandmaster of your class. It seems you're rated around 2660 FIDE, I believe. You've been right around the FIDE top 100, one of India's top players, but not at the level where you're automatically getting an invite to these invitationals necessarily. So what's it been like professionally for you while you're stuck at home?
You mean in general about the invitations and about the tournament?
Yeah, like are you able to find to? I know that you travel a lot to play. So are you able to earn a living, and are you able to maintain your motivation to play? How has that been?
Yeah, so that's why I came to this idea of keeping me engaged, and that explains my role as an author. Like, and also I am doing a chess table course. So it kind of motivates me to do this kind of courses on opening so that I stay myself motivated and explore a lot of things. So apart from that, in India, you know, there is a kind of sponsorship for the top 10 players. There's kind of an oil company which kind of sponsors you. So financially, it's quite secured, but still, like, you know, I mean, this pandemic is quite affecting everyone, and I hope it'll end soon.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, as a chess player, I'm sure you like to play.
Yeah.
Financial circumstances or no, and you want to get back out there.
Yeah, sure.
Test some of the ideas you're uncovering, I'm sure.
No, because probably the thing is that I'm a bit now skeptical when I go to a tournament whether I will be able to remember everything, how to play chess.
Right.
At some point, yeah, it would not be easy. Like the first tournament you play after this pandemic will really not be easy. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of opening novelties, but yeah, a lot of variation swimming, and that's where our friends at Chessable come in, I'm sure. So yeah, Geert had tipped me off that you're working on a course, and the rumor is it's about E5 against E4. Is that right?
It's not a rumor. It's you're perfectly right.
Okay, well, for me, it was a rumor.
So yeah, it's E4, E5. I have played E5 myself many times. It is my main repertoire, and I'm working on it and focusing it on quite hard, and soon, probably in 1 or 2 months, we'll expect the course to release.
That's great. So dare I ask what you're gonna have against the Roy and the Italian and all the big things for white?
Yeah, no, it's basically for the black. So I'm covering for the black, and for the relopers, I'm going to cover the Archangel, which is pretty famous, and surprisingly, it has not been covered in chessable course. So Jan Gustafsson has covered the Marshall. So I thought, okay, I would cover something else, and the Rylopus Archangel came into my mind, and also one of the favorite openings of Magnus Carlsen, and a very sharp line, and that I would like to present a dynamic repertoire from black rather than the most solid lines. So I would like to show a different perspective of E4, E5 to the viewers.
Okay. Yeah, as an E4 player, I mean, I'm rated about 2150, nowhere near your level, but I can tell you, of all the moves to face, E5 is probably my least favorite, even though it's the most classical. It's tough to get anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And probably people think it is like more solid, but black can also play for a win, like by playing E4, E5. So that's what I wanted to show in this the course. Like, there are so many dynamic possibilities, and it's always flexible to play E4, E5. Like, you get a lot of rich ideas, and like, there are a lot of relopper systems like Marshall, Chigorin, Breyer, Archangel, and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be. I look forward to the course. So you're working on that. You're working. I mean, you've got your new book out. Also a Sicilian player, mm-hmm. And got some fresh ideas. An E4 player, so you've got some fresh ideas for white. So I was curious with this book, how you came up with the idea of these two very specific lines against the Nydorf and the Taimanov.
So I was approached, I think, 1 year back by Mr. Daniel from Thinkers Publishing to write a book. At the time, I was I had a hectic tournament schedule, and it was not easy to cover all the Sicilians. So I suggested him that maybe I can cover the two popular Sicilians, that is Nydorf and the Taimanov. I believe, I mean, it's more trendy nowadays. And of course, Nydorf is the main opening against the Sicilian. So I thought I would show some ideas and cover these two openings. So that's how it came into picture, yeah.
Okay, and how did you come up with these specific lines?
So this H3, so against Nydorf, I suggested the Fischer system, that is 6H3. And against Taimanov, it was Queen F3 system. So I myself play it quite exclusively against both these systems. And I thought, why not to present my own opening report, so that in a way it can also motivate me to push further and find new ideas in different systems. So it works both ways. So I thought it would be interesting to show the viewers like what I had in mind. Yeah.
Okay, and you had a famous H3 game in the World Cup against GM Geary, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, like I played it with him against in the second tiebreak game, where I need to win at all costs to stay in the match, and that served me very well. And I have played many interesting games in the H3 Nairov, and as well in the Queen of Three time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and anytime you can hold your own in an opening duel against GM Geary, you got to be doing something right.
Yeah, and you know, Geary, the next game, he was quite scared of my preparation, and he even opted for E4, E5. And there's a funny story, though. Like after the strike break, he was catching up the lid. I mean, he was going to his room, and some spectator told Geary that, Geary, just play E4, E5. Why are you venturing out in the night off? Yeah, so that was quite a compliment to me. Yeah, so
yeah, I that is.
A very, very famous theoretician like Anish, to outfit him in preparation, it's a big task. Yeah.
Yeah. So were you gonna play H3 again? Now you can tell us if he didn't switch. Were you gonna?
Now that I have presented my ideas in the book, probably I have to move on.
Right. Yeah. It's a shame how that works. And now everything's moving so fast.
Yes.
With online play, it's like the ideas are just they're you come up with one and then it's used and then on to the next one. As far as I understand, I mean, this stuff is all over my head. But
also, I should record that Vishy Anand yesterday used one of my ideas, which is mentioned in the book, against Ding in the Chess Legends, just very recent. Yeah, yesterday he played.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, he wrote the foreword as well, we should mention.
Of course, he has my book, and it's a pleasure to see him playing the idea. So he believes in that. Yeah, so...
Yeah. And didn't just read the foreword, actually read the book, we can infer.
That's true.
That's pretty cool. That must have been a good feeling.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, when your sporting hero plays the line which you recommend in the book, it's quite a honor. Yeah.
Yeah, and did you grow up in Chennai?
You mean like?
Did you grow up in Chennai? Is that where you grew up, Chennai?
Yeah. I was born okay. in Chennai, and all my friends are like from Chennai, and yeah, I grew up in Chennai. Yeah.
So what was it like growing up in Vishy City? I mean, how big a shadow did he cast?
Yeah, it's a quite a huge, like, not only in Chennai, the whole of India, I must say, but especially in Chennai, like, if you see, all the strong grandmasters are from Chennai. So it has been quite we have a decent, I mean, good culture, chess culture here. And it's very easy and convenient to work with your fellow players. And I think that improves your chess understanding as well. And being from Chennai, it's quite, like I said, we have a great chess culture, yeah.
So who else, what other well-known players live there?
So Adhiman.
Right.
Yeah.
Good friend of yours, right?
Yeah, good friend of, we grew up together. And of course, the young prodigy, Pragyananda.
And wow, okay, yeah, go on. And,
yeah, the Arvind Chidambaram.
Amazing.
Murali Karthikeyan. And one of the 2700s, Krishnan Sasikaran, was 2700 a few years back. And of course, R.B. Ramesh, the well-renowned coach. And I don't know. There are too many players. Maybe I'm forgetting someone. I'm sorry if I did. Yeah,
yeah, it's got to be one of the strongest chess cities in the world then, right?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, must be fun. Do you guys ever just get together and play Blitz?
Yeah, quite a lot. Like whenever we don't have any tournaments, we catch up together in the academy of Mr. Ramesh, and then we kind of play Blitz games or discuss some games. Or yeah.
So someone like your buddy Adhiman, you guys, like you said, you grew up together. Your ratings are pretty similar. What happens when you get together and play Blitz?
That's a good question. Yeah, the results are always like kind of balanced, I would say.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun, yeah, because you grew up together and you're at the same level and you improve like together. Yeah, it's a nice feeling, yeah.
Yeah, and you guys are both like dynamic openings, and it must be interesting games.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, but I think he's more dynamic than me. He's like a crazy player. Yeah,
always fun.
Yeah.
So relating to your being stuck at home, we've got a few questions from listeners. This one is from a Patreon supporter of the podcast, who just follows up on the general sort of what you're doing and how life is while stuck at home. So this is from Cody Noble, and Cody asks, he says, I assume the majority of the chess world are missing over the board in tournament games, as we discussed. And then he says, is there anything you found that you've liked in regard to the online chess environment during lockdown that you hadn't appreciated previously?
Yeah, the YouTube chess streaming is quite booming now, and I get to see a lot of players open up. And chess has always gained this reputation that chess players are boring and all this kind of things. And I think this YouTube streaming breaks all the stereotypes. And people see that chess players are like fun-loving people. And I must say, apart from Nakamura, that many Indian streamers also have started their YouTube venturing. My good friend Surya has started his YouTube channel too, where he brings in all the legends like Levon, Vishy Anand, and So Wisley is coming tomorrow. So it's great to hear the insights of the players. Yeah, like you rarely get to know these players, the other side of these players. Yeah, so it's quite enjoying to see this side. And also the online chess events are quite fun to play. Like there's no added pressure like in the real tournaments. So yeah, it's quite fun to see this happening.
Nice. Yeah, Grandmaster Surya Ganguly, for anyone who didn't catch that, he's had some amazing interviews on YouTube.
Yeah.
Definitely recommend with Aronian and Anand. I've really enjoyed them. So obviously people listening to this probably like chess interviews. So check those out. And who did you say he's interviewing? It'll be tomorrow, so it'll be out by the time this...
Obviously, and in the coming episodes, you'll be shocked that many legends are going to come. Yeah, I'm not going to repeat it here, but...
Okay. Well, I don't think I'll be shocked, but I'll look forward to it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Grandmaster Vita, who's been on this show, has been streaming as well. And it seems like he's he's a young, charismatic guy. It seems like he's developing quite a following as well.
Yes, yeah, chess has got a huge fan following now. Yeah, it's quite amazing to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, and Chess Base India, the Godfathers. I saw that Sagar Shah said they just crossed 400,000 subscribers. So
yeah,
pretty impressive
true.
Stuff.
Yeah,
so do you feel like, so of course we have the impression here in the United States that chess is booming as well, but I'm sure things are on a different trajectory in every country. So do you have a sense that in India, it sure sounds like it, is it on a similar trajectory there?
Yeah, for sure. Like it has been completely, the scenario has completely changed, and a lot of people who don't know chess get to learn chess and find it very interesting. Because of this fun streams, and they kind of follow chess, yeah, now. And very happy to see this, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And of course, we should mention not strictly, well, not technically Indian, but GM Anish Giri has been doing a lot of stuff with Vita and
Rajapala
others.
Recently.
Yeah. So getting back to the other half of Cody Noble's question, did you have any other new discoveries outside of chess, or it sounds like chess has been keeping you pretty busy even when at home?
No, I've been venturing out a lot, because there is a lot of time, and I'm a big fan of yoga. So I have been learning some new balancing exercises, some difficult ones. And I have also learned how to cook.
Oh, cool.
just venturing aboard. Yeah, venturing aboard a lot of things. Like, okay, it was interesting as well, I must say. But just for 3 or 4 days, I tried my best. And
cool.
Reading books and catching up some TV shows. And I'm spending I'm liking this, actually.
Yeah, it's really, quarantine, like you say, it can suit chess players well. So I have a couple follow-ups. Number one, do you feel, so we get a lot of course, strong players like yourself advocating the importance of fitness. And obviously that's something that Magnus Carlsen and others at the top have sort of set an example in. But what about yoga? Do you feel like that helps your chess?
Yeah, for sure. Like... yoga is one of the things where it is like a union of body and mind. Yeah. So I think you kind of emotionally as well improve, apart from the physical part. And I think it keeps you calm and composed. And we just play. Yeah, we live on the nerves, and yet we have to be emotionally composed. Yeah, like Viktor Korchnoi quotes. So I think yoga really helps to calm your mind, and I would really advise everyone to do yoga.
Yeah, I don't do it as much as I should, but I definitely agree in theory. Grandmaster Ramesh, when he had him on the show, he talked a little bit about how he was working with Pragyananda on meditation techniques. And that's obviously something that's also good for dealing with nerves. Is that something you've taken up, or have you not tried that yet?
You know, I'm also into meditation. I mean, coming from India, I think these two things are very popular. Like meditation and yoga originates from India, right? I believe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So yeah, it helped me in various events as well. So I kind of practice meditation too.
Is it something where you try to maintain a daily practice, or are you not that regimented about it necessarily?
No, of course, I try to be consistent, but some days I miss doing my practice. But like in a week, I at least try to practice it for 4 or 5 days. Yeah.
Okay. And for any chess players who are skeptical, do you have any stories you could tell about it helping you at the board, or maybe like a before and after tale? Like, I don't know when you started yoga and meditation, but was there a point where you noticed it helping you at the board?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm a kind of emotional person as a as a chess player too. It reflects on my game. So I kind of miss many winning positions. Like I kind of get excited too early, and I think by constant practice of meditation, I think it has helped me to calm down a bit. And I think it don't have any particular example, but at critical junctions, and I can feel the difference now. Like maybe I'm more a bit relaxed and composed, and I'm reacting it quite well compared to before. Yeah.
Okay. And of course, what chess players really want to know is, does it help with time trouble? Can you stay calm in time trouble?
I think it helps. Okay. Better not to get in time trouble. But if you do, I think it helps. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. So I think it's a great idea for chess players. I'm one of these, I've done meditation in the past and greatly benefited from it, but I'm one of these people who's fallen to the dark side, and just life and kids and work have been getting in the way. But yeah, it definitely changes a lot of people's lives. So
I believe in America too. I think the kind of yoga is kind of popular. Yeah, apart from India.
Yeah, it is. It's quite popular. There's lots of classes, and you know, people are doing all different kinds of yoga. My wife is it's not her profession, but on the side, she's a yoga instructor. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about chess improvement, but first we're going to take a break and hear from our friends at Chessable.
This is your weekly reminder that if you want to expand your chess knowledge and you haven't already checked out chessable.com, you should do so. If I were using their space repetition technology, a la Chessable's Move Trainer, I would remind you at regular intervals, perhaps even every day, and you would never forget. Chessable has tons of great courses, both for free and for purchase, including the forthcoming opening course of this week's guest, Grandmaster SP Sethuraman. Another example is GM Pascal Charbonneau has recently made a free Legendary Tactics course that utilizes Move Trainer to help you learn some of the tactics of the players in Chess24's Legends of Chess tournament, including Anand, Ivanchuk, and others. There's so much to learn on Chessable that it's best just to head over and try it out. Okay, back to our interview.
Okay, and we're back. So Grandmaster Sethu, you mentioned being a student of RB Ramesh. We've had him on the show. His interviews, we had him both as an individual and with his friend GM Agard, of course, another legendary trainer. They're doing the 365 Chess Academy together. Do you have any lessons you could impart from having worked with him in your teens? What did you learn working with him as a trainer?
You know, my curiosity of openings, I think, developed from him. He used to be a big theoretician those days in Indian chess. And I think I was, I kind of benefited from him a lot, like how to prepare openings and how to go around various stuff. And also my, like, I'm not an E4 or D4 player. Yeah, I play everything. Like, so it kind of caught up from him. So, like, he advised me to be flexible so that you can learn not only about the opening part, but also, like, you can venture about various pawn structures. And I think it really helped in my upbringing because I'm more flexible and it's very difficult for my opponent to predict what I will play. So apart from that, like I said, I also learned to deal with many pawn structures and many different kinds of positions. And also I have to mention that I have trained with Grandmaster Jacob Bagard recently in 2019. Oh, cool. So it was really insightful for me because there are also a lot of players apart from me. It was like a group training session. Like strong players like Ziyong, Sam, Shanklan are also there. And I had a great time working with Jakob, and he taught me how to push, how to push limits. Yeah. So we would daily solve some positions and it would keep on going. So we would never stop. Yeah. So, difficult positions.
And what's so. I can't imagine what that would be like trying to keep up with Sam Shankland, and you know the level of the work you guys are doing must be something to behold. So are you 26 or 27? How old are you?
I'm 27 years old. Yeah.
Okay, 27. So you're still young. What's that?
I'm not so young anymore. Yeah.
Hey, I'm 43, so I'm not gonna. As far as I'm concerned. You're a baby, and you're still on the right side of the aging curve with chess. More importantly, so what's going on? What were your ambitions? Did you have a particular goal? Obviously, again with quarantine, things have been slightly delayed. But were you pushing for a certain thing, or just generally working on your game before classical chess fell by the wayside?
Yeah, before you know, I used to have this kind of goal in my mind to reach 2700. I think that put me some kind of added pressure. So basically now what I'm trying is to enjoy the game and to work hard and concentrate on the working part rather than on the results. So that it will get rewarded automatically. So that's what I'm working hard, not to rely too much on results, but to really concentrate on my work ethics. Yeah.
Sounds like the mindset of a meditator.
That's probably, yeah.
But focus on the process and not the outcomes. Yeah, sounds.
It's a very difficult thing to do, but I'm trying my best. Yes, because I think it gives you kind of added pressure when you have this kind of. Of course, it helps. I mean, it motivates you, but probably it should be in a more balanced way, I feel.
Yeah, well, I recently interviewed I.M. Stuart Rachels, a very strong retired American player. He was one of the best American players, and then he retired to become a philosophy professor here. And one of our listeners asked him what he liked about chess as compared to philosophy. And he just mentioned that he liked that chess is a meritocracy. You can measure everything, whereas in academia, everyone's kind of fighting for their own territory and trying to make a name, and there's a lot of sort of... politics involved in the interpersonal dynamics because it's less quantifiable who's doing a good job, and there's not enough resources for everyone sometimes. And I generally agree with him, but I see what you're saying about how that can also be a detriment in chess, because every game you either win, lose, or draw, and it seems very exact. It's not graded on a continuum, and your rating is a very exact number. So yeah. I do think it's important to try to sort of step back from that at times.
Yeah, that's true.
So do you find yourself constantly fighting yourself in this regard? Like I'm sure it's still upsetting to lose. Are you able to let the losses go better than you were when you were younger, or not necessarily? It's still a struggle.
Yeah, I mean, generally the losses affect me when I kind of miss winning positions. Yeah. So it generally affects me more. But in recent years, I believe I have learned to deal with my losses, because in chess, like unlike other sports, there is no kind of knockout. Yeah, so you can always hope for better things to come. And if you retrospect too much on your losses, and I think it's very difficult to concentrate on the forthcoming games. So I have learned this, and that really helps. Yeah, because you have to keep going. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know how you guys do it at your level. I mean, everyone's so good. Everyone's so prepared. It's got to be tough.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. So probably I think psychology plays a big role here. Like you said, of course, I hate to lose still. I mean,
yeah,
still now. Everyone hates to lose. it's not a secret. But the way we deal with it, probably we can just think about it for a few minutes. And when you wake up the next day, to forget about your loss and learn from it and move on. Yeah. So that's what I believe it's the right thing to do.
Okay. Well, not to harp on a sore subject, but what was your toughest loss? Which one stung the most?
In recent times, I think in the 2019 Asian Championship, I was quite leading throughout the event, and I was half point ahead, and I faced Lee Kwang in the last round. So I had to make a draw just to win the championship, but I kind of lost my thread and lost the last round. Yeah. So it was kind of painful.
Yeah, I bet. And the last rounds, I mean, first of all, winning the championship, you know, is a great feather in your cap. By the way, Grandmaster Seth Rahman has an amazing trophy case behind him. I can see him. You guys can't. But so he's still got some good trophies, but I'm sure another first place one wouldn't have hurt matters.
Yeah, because it was so close and then it is not there. Yeah, so it's kind of hurts.
Yeah, and then it's not like you have another game the next day.
So, yeah, exactly.
so that can make it worse for sure. Well, enough about that. What about your most proud win? Like what brings you the warmest feeling when you reflect on your chess career?
Yeah. Again, it goes to the 2016 Asian Championship. Always my last rounds are kind of epic. So here in this case, it was the other way around. So I was like, even 1 point behind the leaders, like again, Lee Kwang comes into picture. Uh-huh. So I was playing against Wei Ying in the last round with the black pieces. And my friend Surya Ganguly was playing against Lee Kwang. So he was also with the black pieces. And in fact, Lee Kwang and Wei were leading the table. They were at the same points and they were fighting for the championship. I didn't even expect to win the event. But my main goal was to qualify for the World Cup because in I think top six places qualify from the Asian Championship. And quite unexpectedly, I played a really great game and I won the game. And my friend Surya also won with the black pieces. So it was amazing, like how it happened. Yeah, like the day before, I was just hoping for a top six finish. And the day after, I win the championship. Like, so it was one of my, I could say it was a miracle for me.
You're really good friends, Surya.
Yeah, I want to thank him also. winning against Lee Kwang with the black pieces, and myself winning against Wei with the black pieces, it's something like a miracle, yeah.
Yeah.
And we were like 1 point down. So.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, belated congratulations. I guess that's what it takes to win the Asian Championships, you know, some sort of result like that. That's incredible. So do you celebrate when you, like, what happens next? Are you just riding a high? Is it a high for days, weeks, months? Are you having a big party? Like what happens in the aftermath of a big victory like that?
Yeah, generally I tend to enjoy it after the event, like with my friends. With my Indian chess friends, yeah, we get to celebrate, and it gives you pleasant memories, and so it's fun. Yeah, what can I say?
Nice. So let's bring it back to training a little bit. We got sidetracked by some great stories, but so you mentioned you're an opening. I mean, we know you're an opening specialist, and have been. I read Grandmaster Ramesh told a story about you seeing some novelty in the 2000s. I think it might have been a Karjakin game. Am I getting the details right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, like it was a game of Karjakin against Anand in Maikan Z 2006, I believe. 2003 or 2006. No, I think it was 2006. And Anand played this very fascinating novelty, which is, I think, 24th moon, knight c7, if I'm not mistaken. I think you guys can have a look at that game, and it's wonderful novelty. Like at the time, I was 13 years old, and I was quite fascinated by it. And I couldn't sleep for many days. And I started to analyze with the engines, like, because, I mean, those days it was Fritz, yeah?
Right.
So I had fun in analyzing, and I got my first laptop during that time. So I kind of analyzed like 15 or 13 pages of that opening, and I showed it to my trainer, to Ramesh, and he got quite impressed. Like, this kid, 13 years old, is having some 13 pages of analysis. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, and staying up all night working on it, that's pretty impressive. Do you remember your rating roughly at that point?
Probably 2200 or 2100, I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah. Around that, yeah.
And what was your... Were you learning a lot of opening theory the whole way up? One topic we're constantly debating on this show is like how much people should be spending studying openings, especially like if you're not on a professional track. I don't know if your own experience would help us with that, being that you are a professional, but just out of curiosity, were you learning lots of theory your whole way climbing the rating ladder, or was that something that you started to emphasize as you got stronger?
Yeah, I mean, there are, of course, few advantages and disadvantages of like concentrating on opening too much. I would say, let's say for a 2400 or a 2300, it doesn't matter much to focus too much on openings, because it can really kind of hurt your foundation or something. But at the top level, I think you need to get some cash in some ideas. Otherwise, it's very difficult to get even a playable position nowadays. So I think it is important to have at least a decent new idea. So that explains. And for me, it is always, I always was curious to learn new things. And it always interested me. And it also brings you confidence, I believe. And it also gains you time in the game.
Yeah, which is an important component that doesn't always get mentioned, especially with things speeding up now with the move online, all the time controls speeding up, it becomes increasingly important. So you mentioned 2300 to 2400, but of course this story from Ramesh. Now, granted, you were a young talent, so that changes things a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you were only 2200. So was this advice that you followed, or was it just that you happened to love opening, so you kind of went down that path from an earlier point in your chess development?
Yeah, it's not like they have to not prepare new openings or let's say concentrate on that. It should be balanced. That's what I mean.
So, okay.
Yeah, for me, I allowed to check new stuff. I mean, when a new game is going on, like a top level game is going on, yeah. So you tend to get curious on like and check the game, yeah. So it's kind of natural to do that.
Okay. And what else are you doing these days? So I know that I've interviewed, of course, a lot of players at your level, and I know that openings are a big point of emphasis, but do you train other aspects of your game?
Yeah, I like to read books, a lot of books, and I love classical chess. I mean, classical books like Garry Kasparov's one. And right now I'm reading this Python strategy by Tikhon Petrosian. It is a fantastic book. So, I love the romantic era of chess, yeah, because it explains in a very lucid and clear manner, and it's always interesting to know how classics and history work. Yeah,
yeah, I've heard a couple of other people mention Python strategy. So, what impresses you about it? What do you like about it?
I mean, Petrosian legacy is always very interesting to note, and he's a different kind of player. He brought into a new level of chess. Yeah. And also, as a person, I think you get to know about him by reading this book. And it's quite a simple book and explained in a very clean manner. So that's what intrigues me. Yeah.
Yeah, and I apologize to that I can't remember who said this, but I remember reading or hearing recently someone saying, so with a player like Petrosian, it might be a little bit easier to emulate than someone like Mikhail Tal. Or, you know, young Alexei Shirov, because these fierce tactical players, if you can't calculate like those guys can, it's kind of hard to fake. But Petrosian, the simplicity can be deceptive, but nonetheless, it might be easier to learn. Do you agree with that?
No, but it's not easy to also do the Petrosian way, because it's not easy to put pressure. Yeah.
Right.
And Petrosian like made chess look very easy, like Capablanca or now Magnus, yeah?
Right.
But it's always tough, like, to when you get on the, get to the heels, yeah? I mean, try to imitate them, it's always tough. Also, I think this positional understanding always revolves around small tactics. Yeah, it's not like that, okay, it's not, he's like, he's not good at other areas, but yeah, but it is kind of universal.
Okay. And what other chess books have you read that, that really resonated with you?
In my childhood days, I liked the book of Alexander Alekhine. So that was my kind of first book, which kind of influenced my dynamic style. And apart from that, yeah, of course, the positional decision making by Gelfand and the technical one, I mean, the dynamic one is great to hear the insights of the modern player. Yeah. So rarely we get to know the minds of player nowadays, because I think only Gelfand has written a book, and I expect many more books to come in the future. Of course, the Kamsky one also was kind of interesting to the Kamsky's best games, Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Yeah.
So it is also kind of fascinating.
Yeah, there was a ton of analysis in those books. It's impressive. The degree of detail was something.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and we've got, of course, our friends from Thinkers Publishing got Navarra's new book out. Have you gotten a chance to check that out? I know that Olympia Khan has been raving about it.
Which book?
David Navarra.
Yeah. Of course, I have not got it yet because of this COVID. It's not easy to buy the book because the shops are really not. Amazon is not working in Chennai. So I kind of find it difficult, but I'm really looking forward to read that book because David is a fine gentleman, and to hear his thoughts kind of intriguing. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to get my hands on it as well. He's a super nice guy as well. And Daniel mentioned that you're discussing the fact that the book's not available in India. It made me think. I think Daniel mentioned that generally chess books can be on the expensive side, and in India, a lot of people don't have as much money. So how do they approach that? How are so many, all of the rabid chess fans, shout out to anyone in India listening, how are they able to get chess books, and how are chess businesses able to make things work for both the customer and the producer of any product?
Yeah, I know. You know, it's very difficult to distribute the books in India. We hardly had any company before. But now ChessBase India has come forward to get in the books. Otherwise, I would find it very difficult myself, and generally order from the European stores, or when I go to a tournament in Europe, I kind of come up written in there with a bulk of books. So I found it very difficult as well. And I don't know what's the reason, probably financial, the cost, but I really don't know. But I hope that things will get better because the audience here is quite large, yeah?
Yeah.
So they all love to read books, but the only thing is that it is not convenient to get those ones. So I really hope some big companies come up and deal with the books. Right now, ChessBase India is doing, and ChessMate is doing as well. And one more company, I think Citadel, I think they are dealing with the Thinkers Publishing. But apart from that, there are not many people, yeah, who are interested to get in the books to India.
Yeah. What about the online stuff? Like, of course, you mentioned you're working on a Chessable course, and you know, chess.com and Chess24 have subscription models. Are those popular in India?
Chessable is kind of getting popular, but in India, I think chess.com is getting more popular with. But generally, I mean, the now the trend is that online thing is booming. Yeah, so I guess it will soon take over the books. But still, it's always a good feeling to read a book. I come from the old school. That's why I feel it.
It's funny though, because you're only 27. I think a lot of players around your age didn't necessarily come up in the book culture. But I guess we can blame Ramesh for that.
Yeah, probably my upbringing is like this. Yeah, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the chess book culture is going strong, but I know that not everyone necessarily feels that way. Getting back to the online, the online surge, are there any, I mean, of course there's Chess Base India, but are there any India based sites that we might not know about elsewhere in the world that are gaining a lot of traction in the chess world?
There is chess.com India as well.
Right.
But apart from that, I really don't think so. Yeah. These are the only two websites which are covering Indian chess. It's quite strange because we have a huge amount of chess players. It's quite strange, but only these two sites are covering.
Okay. And I think I just have just a few more questions for you, Grandmaster. One is just if you could, so you've been researching for Chessable, you did this book for Thinkers Publishing. Could you, and we've been lucky to interview a lot of chess authors, particularly ones who are focused on the opening, like Grandmaster Lawrence Kaufman and recently Grandmaster Erwin Lemie discussing his Chessable course. But I'm always curious to hear people's approaches as how to use engines, especially as they become more widely available to common folk like myself. So are you using Leela and Stockfish? And do you have any tips for people of how to use engines in their own training?
Yeah, I've been using Leela for quite some time. It is always interesting to work with different engines. Like, for instance, you can also work with weaker engines. Yeah, it's not that you have to just access the stronger ones, because every engine gives some kind of new perspective to the opening analysis. And generally, you should not be a master and not a servant. Yeah, like you should direct the engine. So you should not just follow. I mean, press space bar and follow the first line. Yeah. So you have to direct it. So that is kind of important, whichever engine you use. Of course, there are a lot of advantages of different engines, like Leela is more positional and Stockfish is more of a tactical one. And we have this, I think, new engine coming up, if I'm not mistaken, the Stockfish new version, I think NNU or something.
Is it another neural network? Or?
Yeah, something like this is coming up. And I think in the times coming, it will... the perspective will keep on changing, but the work ethics, I think, should not change. Yeah, like we have to be the master and not the servant. That is the main work ethic, I feel.
So be inquisitive. Yeah, that's good advice, and also interesting advice about the quote unquote weaker engines. Although I'm sure they're still super strong.
Yeah,
but what would be an example of an engine besides the two that we most often hear about, besides Stockfish and Leela? Are there any other particular engines you would recommend to download?
Yeah, there's a Sugar engine, which is kind of, I think, similar to Stockfish. Allenstein is also quite interesting. And you can also check the games, yeah, the official TCEC championship.
Right, yeah.
So you can have a look at the games, and you will find many interesting engines out there.
Okay, so do you get a lot of your ideas from engine games and correspondence games and stuff like that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, correspondence games also helps, and the engines one also. I mean, of course, not all of them are interesting from opening point of view, but I try to browse it through.
Okay, and right as we record, by the way, thank you for doing this while the Chess 24 Legends tournament is going on. Although these days there's always something going on, so. Are you following events like that pretty closely, both sort of as a fan, but also as someone looking for new ideas? Like, are you checking stuff every day in terms of the constant stream of new games?
Yeah, I think it is. If you play chess at the highest level, you just cannot stop looking at it.
Yeah? Right, yeah.
It automatically comes to you. Yeah? Like, you're curious what is happening here, what is happening there. And I have been following Chess Legends as well, and BL as well. Hari won a nice game today, and I think he's kind of first or second place. I don't know. I think he finished second. I think Radek was ahead in tie breaks. But it is always curious and interesting to check the games.
So any particular new ideas that have got you excited that you've seen in the past few days, that, or is it too top secret at this point?
I mean, Magnus' idea of, this G4 idea of Magnus was quite interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Magnus plays is really fun to watch, yeah? Like, be it his openings or, it's always a fan moment. Like,
yeah, Erwin.
like the number of how many hours, I mean, how many times you look at his games, like it always piques your interest. Yeah.
Yeah, Erwin Lamy was saying that Magnus is underrated as an opening theoretician. Like, he kind of got the reputation early on as not being as focused on openings, but now it may not be as deserved. He's got so many ideas.
Yeah, and the way he's evolving is quite impressive, I must say. Like, the Magnus who was like 3 or 4 years back was quite different, and it was not necessary for him to change. But at the right moment, he felt that he has to do something else, and it's quite, I mean, it's working for him. Yeah. So it's quite impressive to know what the evolve Magnus has done.
Yeah, it is. It's something. I mean, the way he's doing, especially in this current tournament, is just mind boggling. So I've just got a couple more rapid-fire questions from our Twitter friends. I had put out the word that we were going to interview, and a couple people chimed in with some questions we should ask you. So one is from @_Pry, who asked if you watched the chess.com PogChamps tournament, the one with the Twitch streamers playing. Did you check that out at all?
No, not really. Sorry for disappointing the fan, but I didn't check that one. Yeah,
that wasn't. I just didn't get a chance. Really, I've you know, listeners have heard me talk about. Yeah, I have kids at home.
I heard that, but I didn't check the games. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome what they're doing to popularize chess. I didn't get a chance. I mean, you're not gonna uncover a lot of opening novelties, there, or at least not ones that you want to use. Another one from a friend and former guest of the show, I am Venkat Saravanan, who says to ask about your gentleman father, first of all, and then there's more coming, but tell us about your gentleman father.
Yeah, my father is the reason who inspired me to get into chess. He himself is a chess player. He played in the times of Anand, and I don't know if you know about this tall chess club where Anand grew up.
Oh, yeah.
So my father was also a part of that club. So that's how chess came into, chess was my profession, came into my profession. And I think probably it runs in my blood, and I'm pretty happy about it, yeah.
Yeah, and does your dad have some stories about Anand showing up as a boy at the tall chess club?
Yeah, probably, there is a kind of generation gap, but of course, like they used to get together and practice and play a lot of blitz games, and my father didn't really have an interaction with Vishy, but he was always around, yeah, so it is quite nice to see, like, yeah.
Yeah, and okay, and the other half of I am Saravanan's question was to also ask you about a passionate chess professional turned coach, Panayappan. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing it. Who worked so hard that his son could succeed, or is that also referring to your dad?
Yeah, that's my father. His name is S. Panayappan. So
okay.
So he's running an academy in Chennai. So he's kind of helping all the beginners. It's a beginner chess academy, and my mother is also a chess player. So my brother is also a chess player.
Oh, awesome!
So. So it's so we are a chess family, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, that's great. And is chess pretty popular at the grassroots level in Chennai? I would guess it is.
Yeah, there are a lot of academies, and every Saturday, Sunday, we used to have a tournament right here in Chennai. And like I said, we have a great chess culture in Chennai, yeah.
Yeah, and so you guys are hoping to reopen soon. So hopefully those kids will be able to get back out there. What about you? Have you been able to even think about yet traveling to any tournaments? You mentioned that Beale's going on. Europe is doing a good job keeping a lid on the virus. So do you have any plans of going to Europe or any upcoming tournaments that you're dreaming of playing?
Yeah, of course I'm dreaming of playing, but yeah. Right now I don't think I can travel this year.
Yeah,
because we are lockdown, and international travels takes some time to resume, and I have to get my visa, and it's I don't know when I will get to play next year.
Yeah,
so hopefully at the time I'll not forget chess.
sad, but someday hopefully we'll get this straightened out, and then you can unveil all your opening novelties. Okay, well, Grandmaster, I really want to thank you for your time. But before we let you go, is there anything else you'd like to mention or say? I think I'm out of questions on my end.
Yeah, thanks, Ben, for inviting me. It has been a pleasure to talk to you on various topics about my father, about the chess book, about the chess able. So I hope the listeners will also enjoy and they also get a hold of my book. I promise them it will be of high quality analysis with many novelties, and I'm right now working on Chessable, and I'm really working hard, and I believe that I will be able to produce a very nice video course, and fingers crossed here.
Yeah, we'll look forward to both. You're going to make it even harder for me as an E4 player, but but on the other hand, your Thinkers Publishing book helps me out a little bit, so it evens out in the end. And we should mention, by the way, your book is your Sicilian book is available on Forward Chess as well. So always a nice way to play through the lines without necessarily getting out the physical book. And plus, then you can buy it and have it immediately. So
yeah.
So congratulations on the book and all of your success. And of course, you're on Twitter. Is there any other social media way for people to keep up with you, or is that your main social media?
No, I'm active on Instagram as well. And Twitter and Instagram are the most active. I'm active in Twitter and Instagram. Yeah.
Okay, so I will link to both of those. And yeah, hopefully you can get back out there soon. But in the meantime, congrats on a great book. And we look forward to the Chessable course.
Yeah, thank you so much for the wishes.
Special thanks, as always, to my producer, Matthew Passy, and thanks to those who continue to help spread the word about Perpetual Chess. Positive reviews on podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, glowing comments on YouTube help people discover the show, as does telling a friend or sharing it on social media. Speaking of which, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at BennyFischel1, or join the Perpetual Chess Facebook group and continue the conversation about the latest interview. Sometimes the guests even weigh into these discussions. The Perpetual Chess Instagram page is back in action, so lots of ways to stay engaged, as they say. But most of all, of course, I want to thank those who provide financial support to the show, especially right now with all this COVID craziness going on in the world. Most of all, I want to thank Chessable for sponsoring the show, and to everyone who kicks in via PayPal or the Perpetual Chess Patreon page. I also just put up a little donate directly link on the Perpetual Chess webpage where it says donate. But again, if you're not in a position to donate, I'm happy to have people listening and just enjoying the show. So without further ado, I'd like to give thanks to the people who helped make Perpetual Chess possible. I would like to give thanks to the following people and entities: Chessable.com, Quality Chess Books, the Capital City Chess Club, the Apprend Chess Twitch channel, Andrew Alhaji, Andrew Bach, Austin Clough, Benjamin Porteau, Bill Sigler, Kathy Carr, Chad Oliver, the Chess Central's Chess Blog, Chris Flanagan, Dan O'Hanlon, Danny Davidson, David Schreiber, I am Dimitri Schneider, I am Eric Rosen, Faraz Sawaf, Gary Foreman, Greg Harst, Greg Natel, Greg Shahadi, Guven Manet, James Kennedy, Jens Green, John Jernigan, John Rockefeller, John Cromarty, John MacArthur, Kelly Palmer, Kevin O'Callaghan, Lucio Casada Silva, the Law Offices of Stuart Katz, LelaAnalysis.com for cloud-based Lela engine analysis, Michael Kahn, FM Michael Oblin, Mike Zelazny, Mr. Mike Shahadi, the famous Mr. Dodgy, Peter Sodi, Reuven Fisher, Seattle Chess Club, Stephen Martinez, Thomas Stanix, Thomas Tachenko, Todd Bryant of Strong Chess, Todd Kennedy, Wayne Beam, and I also would like to thank the following: Aaron Waffler, Ace Viega, Adam Ralph of ChessEngland.com, Adrian Gutierrez, Alex Pejas, Andy Ryerson, FM Andre Terakov, Dr. Andrew Perry, Anita Deer, Barry Hessian, Better Chess Training, Bill Juniper, Bill Moran, Brad and Andy Rosen, Brett Howard Lynn, Brian Mullis, Chad Hilton, Dr. Charles Snodgrass, Chris Wainscott, Christopher Baumgartner, Christopher Shabri, Chris Lott, Christopher Wood, I am Christoph Selecki, aka Chess Explain, Coach J's Chess Academy, Costa Carras, Courtney Fry, Craig Mallon, Daniel Ginsberg, Daniel Naylor, Dave Saylor, David Bleskacek, David Cramley of Chessable.com, Dalen Shelton, Dirk Decker, Drake Dominguez, Dwayne Edmonds, Ed Daly, Ethan Smith, Ian Mason, I am Elect, Donnie, Ariel, Fox Valley Chess Club, Francis Letarte Lavoie, Frank Tortorice, MD, Gary Andrews, Gary Lewis, Geert Vandervelt, Gerard Barta, Giovanni Russo, Hans Schutt, Harish Srinivasan, Jacob Kovac, Jack Perry, James Aspinwall, James Bonastia, James Muir, Jason Woolham, J. Deep Chakrabarty, Jeff Anderson, Jeffrey Martello, Yep Hoyland,
Jerry Wells, Jim Ratliff, J.J. Snod, Dr. John Fallon, John Fernandez, John Fontaine, John Hartman, John Jeffrey, John McMurtry, Jonathan Slater, Jordan Goodwin, Jose Rodriguez, Justin Gardner, Jen Shahadi, Joel Rocky, John Thompson, GM, Josh Friedel, I.M. Kari Christensen, WGM Katerina Nemsova, Kelly Palmer, Kevin Pryor, I.M. Kostya Kovutsky, Krishna Gopala Krishnan, Kyle McAvoy, Larry Reiforth, Laura Boyowski, Martin Knudsen, Martin Krug, Matthew Passy, Matthew Tedesco of SeattleChessMeetup.org, Mechanics Institute Chess Club of San Francisco, Michael Allard, Michael Hudson, Miguel Arispide, Mike Clem, Mitchell Fabian, Nate Solon, Neil Bruce, Nigmat Mulajanov, Olaf Mueller-Michaels, GM Pascal Charbonneau, Passy Passan, and Paul Bain, Paul Clarkson, Paul Sweeney, Paulo Santana, Peter Lux, Randy Temple, Ricky Grijalva, Richard Hallenbeck, Robert Turner, Roy Yearwood, Ryan Berg, the Say Chess YouTube channel, Scott Doherty, Scott McKinnon, Sebastian Finsterwater, Shane Unger, Stefan Roller, WGM, Tatyev Abrahamian, Tim Brennan, Tim Seymour, Timothy Ha, Tom Edsel, Tomas Komanich, Tony Rotella, Tyrin Price, Vishnu Srikumar, William Brock, William Juniper, William Hogarth, William Peterson, FM Zhao Cheng of chess1000.com, and last but never least, Zhivko Stoyanov. Thanks for listening, everyone. I will catch you all next week.
Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.